Hello and welcome to Ramble On, the podcast. This is number two in a series of who knows how many. Number one went pretty well. I was not displeased with how it turned out, although obviously there were some errors and there was some technical stuff. But I think it went all right and proved I can talk for a while. Not have big gaps, and that was something. This week, I think I'm a little more organized. I still have lots of stuff to go through. It doesn't seem like there was a lot of news in the last 10 days or whatever it's been, but as I sit and look at my sheet, there's a fair bit here. So I'm going to get pretty much to it. Speaking of last time, I talked about adding some clips and stuff, and I have a couple of audio clips from the Robert Plant DVD that I also talked about last time, Blue Note. My review of that is up. It's online at briangardner.ca/rambleon. And that is Gardner, with G-A-R-D-I-N-E-R. Brian Gardner, all one word. And it's up. It's like 1,200 words. It's a fairly long, in-depth review. And bottom line is, if you're a Robert Plant fan, it's worth picking up. If you're a Led Zeppelin fan and, you know, not so big on Robert Plant solo stuff, you may not enjoy it as much. It really blows over the Led Zeppelin stuff fast. However, there was two super sound bites in it. One from Robbie Blunt, his guitar player on his first three albums, who does a lot of the interviews in the first part, and has this great, great sound bite about using the Roland guitar on the Shaken and Stirred album. The second one is Chris Dreja, which is, I think, is the pronunciation. He played with the Yardbirds. And he talks about seeing Led Zeppelin for the very first time at Carnegie Hall. And it's really quite a sound clip. It's about 5 seconds just, but it's a great clip. So I'm going to do that later. I asked for reviews for Let Me Know How I Did. And I had one. Just one, but there you go. And he says, excellent, plenty of information and passion, which to me are the essential ingredients. You obviously need to get more organized, but hey, this was your first one, and I thought it was really good. Good dissection of the Plant DVD and Page's new website. Look forward to more. Many thanks, Ron. And Ron, thank you so much for sending that in. That was, you know, it's helpful to hear what other people are thinking. And that was great. So, and he's right. There was some organizational issues. I hit a bunch of walls I didn't expect. I was looking up web pages I wasn't expecting to have to look up in the middle of the podcast. I didn't really think it through. This time, I got about 7 web pages sitting in front of me on the computer, so pretty sure I've got everything covered that I need to have covered. And I have sheets. You can hear my sheets here. So I have sheets ready to go. You got my my email address. If you want to get a hold of me, rambleon@briangardner.ca, briangardiner.ca. This podcast is now on iTunes, so if you kind of went to my website, there you go. I don't have the sheet, the what up, what I want, but I got a place to put it up and post it and run from, and if that's where you heard it, or if you heard it on my website, you can now get the iTunes, find it, and subscribe to it. And every week or every 2 weeks, I guess it'll probably be, it'll just land on your iPhone or whatever you're using to listen to this. And that will be that. Okay, news. Robert Plant. Robert is listed to attend the Americana Music Awards on October 13th at Ryman Auditorium in Nashville. The story that this ran with was an interesting story, because it said Robert Plant will attend the Americana Music Awards on October. So a little digging. That's the 13th. Is that's missing from in the online world. Everybody's cutting editors. First thing they save money, cut editors. And this is the kind of stuff that happens when you cut editors. So it's October 13th, and the Ryman Auditorium is in Nashville. And if you're in Nashville, boy, the Ryman Auditorium's got a lot of great stuff coming up. Frampton Comes Alive, and there was another show I saw that I just thought, oh, wow, that would be good. But there you have. And the Americana Music Awards, he's up for a couple. What it doesn't say, what the story doesn't say, if by being there they mean he's going to be sitting in the audience, politely applauding, whether he's going to be presenting, or whether he's actually going to be performing with the Band of Joy. The Band of Joy is playing another concert, I think I mentioned last week, towards the end of October. And so they're not, you know, disbanded, done with. So maybe they'll be performing there. Maybe they won't. We don't really seem to know yet. Happy birthday also to August, or to Robert Plant. It was his 63rd birthday on August 20th. And, you know, getting into retirement age. And he doesn't look like he's ready to retire. So good for him on that. John Paul Jones, still writing the opera. If I sound like I'm making fun of him writing an opera, by the way, I'm not. I love opera. If you go back and kind of dig through my website for the Anna Nicole Smith, I did quite a piece on the tragic characters in opera and how it's a comparable to some of the great operas in terms of subject matter. I have no idea whether it was a good or lousy opera. They only did 3 performances. It was on the other side of the ocean. I've kind of been keeping my eye open to see if somebody taped it or if they're going to release it, you know, DVD or something. Nothing has turned up. But I'm not making fun of opera. And writing an opera is a huge, huge, huge undertaking. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for the amateurs. It's, you know, you're writing for an orchestra plus a pile of voices, and you're, you know, it's musically involved with all, you know, a voice is an instrument in opera. A lot of people used to say that about Robert Plant. It was one of the magic things about Led Zeppelin. He uses his voice like an instrument. That's something they did in opera. They, you know, if they had a voice singing a line, they thought about what are the violins playing compared to the voice. Counterpoint with the voice, or counterpoint with 10 voices plus violin. It could be a really complex undertaking. Not, you know, really good, talented composers cannot write opera. It's not for everybody. Anybody in the rock and roll world could actually pull it off. Probably it's John Paul Jones. I keep saying, you know, he's writing his opera, but I'm not making fun of him. I assume what he's, if he's writing an opera, it takes time, and I assume that's what he's doing. He also appeared with C6 Steve on August 27th at the Reading Festival, played the gig. Somewhere there's a nice clip of them doing a few songs. Jimmy Page's website has had a number of things turned up in the last couple of weeks. This one was the one that really struck me. Leona Lewis on August 31st, and I wrote down what he put on it was, on this day I performed at the Olympic closing ceremonies of Beijing, where the baton was passed on, so to speak, to London 2012. Leona Lewis and I performed Whole Lotta Love, along with many who had been intoxicated by Leona's performances on The X Factor. I was curious how she would approach Whole Lotta Love. Her classy delivery was sultry and impeccable, her visual performance dazzling to say the least. It was without a doubt one of the many high points of my career, and it was one happy man who performed with such a remarkable talent. There's so much there to me. So much that he said that's... for one, here's what we now know. You want to know why you're not getting new Jimmy Page music? Because he's sitting around watching The X Factor. I watch too much TV. I work all day. So, you know, by 9 o'clock at night, you're tired. I will not watch The X Factor. I will not watch American Idol. I don't care. It's not what's going on. And so there you go. He's sitting and watching The X Factor and deciding, oh, there's a singer. That's kind of, uh-oh. her delivery was sultry and impeccable. She did a good job, a whole lot of love that night, on top of the bus, which was, you know, I don't know, hard to be classy on top of a bus. But they managed to do pretty good. But then there's this line, one of the high points of my career, and happier man who performed with such a remarkable talent. Yeah, she's good. Yeah, she's saying okay. But, boy, is that a backhanded slap at anybody? You gotta wonder what he's thinking when he wrote that, or am I reading too much into it? Who knows? A couple of days ago, actually, I think I have it written down here somewhere. August 31st, the Texas Pop Festival 1969, and he showed a video, and the video was, this is about a 7-8 minute video, and it was an old bootleg video. And you say to yourself, well, what's going on here? Why doesn't Jimmy Page have his own damn video of the Texas Pop Festival? Why are you getting something that's been sitting around YouTube for ages that's really not good quality anyway? And today he dropped one. Something you've never heard before from, he says, 1970, I think it is. A Baby Who's Driving Your Car. It's a song. It was, and let me see, recorded. I had an amusing track with allusions to Albert King and Cream on my home tape recorder, and John Williams came over to my house, recorded the vocals for Baby Who's Driving Your Car. And then he dropped the song, about a minute of this song. It's an interesting piece, it's a nice piece of song, plus a WAV file download. And that's something to consider. That's, a brand new Jimmy Page download. 20 years old, 40 years old, I mean. But, and this is interesting, though, and so I threw out the question, who the heck is John Williams? I know John Williams, classical guitarist. I know of John Williams, well, I don't know him. And I know John Williams, the composer, who did Star Wars, etc. So, surely not the composer or classical guitarist, I said. Who is this guy who came and sang this song? He was a funk. This came up on, thanks to Scott Swanson, for badge holders only emailing list. I said it last time, I'll say it this time. Subscribe for badge holders only. If you're a Zeppelin fan, it's kind of a must place. Scott says, he was a folk singer and a member of a 60s band called The Authentics. Page played guitar in one of their sessions and struck up a friendship with Williams over their mutual interest in folk music. Williams and Page later recorded the Morini Wishful album with Big Jim Sullivan, and Page signed Williams to Immediate Records, although no recordings came of it. By the way, says Scott, the recording date for Baby Who's Driving Your Car is more likely September 2nd, 1967. Page was on in the U.S. on September 2nd, 1970. And I have not verified that information, and I'm not about to start typing on my computer to verify it, so I'll take his word for it. So, this is kind of classic of this webpage. It drops something great. Oh, listen to this new song. And gets the date wrong. There's always kind of something wrong with these things. It's really weird, actually. It's very, very strange. News from the Jason Bonham world. Black Country Communion has a new DVD coming out. It will be released October 24th. That's a Monday. That's probably the British date. Usually DVDs and CDs drop on a Tuesday here in North America. So, Live Over Europe, release date October 24th, probably the 25th in Canada and US. And they do have on YouTube, on their webpage, bccommunion.com, they do have a little video trailer for it. It looks pretty good. I saw something on Glenn Hughes' Facebook today. Something like 24 high-def cameras were used. So it's going to be a good DVD. Stick it on your Christmas list now. I know I am. Actually, because I do this, I'll probably end up going and buying it right off the bat. Although I'll fish around and see if I can get a copy before the time. I mentioned last week about tour dates. I said they had 4 on the webpage. I thought I had seen 7 listed. And surely to God, there was going to be more than just 7. I was spot on them both. After that, I found Page with 7 dates listed. All in the California, Nevada area, and 1 in New Jersey, I believe it was. Let's see if I get that right. Riverside, California, Bakersfield, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Sacramento, and Napa Valley, and Englewood, New Jersey. Those were the first 7 dates. October 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 17th, 18th, Englewood, New Jersey, the 27th. They have added another 1, 2, 3, added another bunch of dates. October 28th in Huntington, New York. October 29th in Upper Darby, Pennsylvania. October 31st in Boston. November 1st, New York, Back to the Best Buy Theater. November 2nd, Hartford, Connecticut. November 4th, Buffalo, New York. After Buffalo, they cross the old border. November 5th, in my part of the world, Orillia, Ontario, at Casino Rama. And November 6th, Ottawa, Gatineau, location to be announced. And November 7th, Quebec City. Surprisingly, they didn't stick a Montreal date in there because they went over very well in Montreal. And I know the guys just was one of their favorite gigs of the first tour they did. So if you go into Ottawa, Gatineau, and Quebec City, you'd think you'd stick Montreal in the middle of those. But who knows how these things work out. So I kind of said last time I doubt they'd come out my way because they've been out here, you know, the last two tours. But here they are coming to Orillia. Orillia is a small town on the lake, home of an author called Stephen Leacock, turn of the century comedic author. He wrote a series of short stories that listed into a book considered one of the great Canadian books, called Sunshine Sketches of a Little Town, and the little town is considered to be Orillia, Ontario. Great little Stephen Leacock museum up there, and but everybody just goes to the casino now. It's, you know, it's one of those things where casino was a boon and a bust to it at the same time. And lots of people go to Orillia now that never went before, but they roll into the casino, they roll out again. I'm probably going to go. Tickets go on sale Saturday. I'm probably going to go. And I sent a message to James Dillon, who I'm friendly with, trying to sneak in backstage, see if I can get a tape recorder in, get an interview with one or two of the guys. That would be kind of cool. And I'll share it with you if it happens. So that is where we are at for news. And how's my time doing, do you know? Well, who cares, right? This week, Dave Lewis announced the newest Tight But Loose was going to be released. Should be hitting the mail in the next. He showed, put up the picture for it, the cover. And he's, where am I? Dave, if you don't get the magazine Tight But Loose, it is, tblweb.com, it's right in front of me. I never noticed this last time, or I believe tightbutloose.co.uk, I think is the other, but tblweb.com will apparently work. This issue will do, he's going to cover quite a lot of ground, I think. Part two, most significantly, of Stairway to Heaven at 40. November 1971 was the release of Led Zeppelin 4, and that's coming up. And he's been covering, and of course, his first one came out early summer. And the head's going a bit here. Early summer, the first Tight But Loose with the first part of the Stairway to Heaven at 40 came out, and it was, I think, March 5th they played in Belfast for the first time they played Stairway to Heaven live. So it's been, you know, going over this summer, it's been 40 years for Stairway to Heaven. So part two, I have the cover here now. Jimmy Page back on stage with Donovan and the Black Crowes, plus his website launched way ahead of you there, Dave. Led Zeppelin, Fresh Horizons in 71, from Montreux to Honolulu. John Paul Jones, Summer, C6 Steve, Foo Fighters, Spin Marvel, and all that jazz. Robert Plant, The Band of Joy, Stomping Across Europe, plus the Blue Note DVD reviewed. Black Country Communion at High Voltage, tribute to Howard Mallett, who was a Led Zeppelin author. He did a great, when Howard Mallett died, Dave Lewis, that Tight But Loose, did a great tribute to him. Really handled it with respect and dignity. He was a friend of his. And was at the funeral, as was, I believe, Jimmy Page. The band sent flowers for certain. Jimmy Page is a maybe at being there. Anyway, plus Stairway to Heaven at 40, Part 2, Nebworth Second Books, Part 2, Nebworth Books Second Edition, Live Dreams Book App, Zepfest 2011 debacle. It'd be interesting to hear what he has to say about Zepfest 2011, I will tell you that. And CD Reviews, latest news and more. So that's coming up. Tape It Loose, Dave Lewis's website. It's a great magazine. If you don't subscribe, really, really, really recommend it. The cover price on it is £5.60. I think I pay about $25 for three in a year. It comes into something like that. That's postage in. He gets them out pretty quick. He's pretty reliable about doing it. And they're great magazines. Just read it cover to cover three or four times. I love them every time they come out. And that's the latest one that's out. So, yeah. Go to the website, tblweb.com. Order. If you don't already. It's worth it. It's really, 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 really worth it. What else? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to play those clips now. That will be... I have to sort myself out. But yes, I'm going to play two clips. First one, Robbie Blunt. You just have to hear it. Talking about the Roland guitar synthesizer for Shaken and Stirred. Robert Plant wanted him to use it. He hated the thing. Couldn't get it to work right. And the bottom line is, he says, Robert Plant frustrated, you know, said, well, Jimmy can make his work. And Benji Lefebvre called Jimmy Plant, or Jimmy Page's guitar tech, and basically thought, Jimmy's throwing his out the window. Never mind making it work. So I'm going to play that clip for you right now, and here it is.
And actually trying to record with the Roland guitar synth, I really tried to utilise this piece of crap, because obviously the latency, and Robert would say, I don't know what's the matter with you, Jimmy's getting on fine with his. And Benji called up... Jimmy's guitar tech. He said he's fucking thrown his out the window.
I think that worked. I hope that worked. Second clip will be Chris Dreja. Dreja, D-R-E-J-A. Chris was rhythm guitar player with the Yardbirds. Moved to bass when Jimmy Page slipped in, of course. I believe took the pictures of the first, became a professional photographer. Is now touring with the Yardbirds again, actually. But this is just a great story about seeing Led Zeppelin for the first time. It was Carnegie Hall, and what you don't hear is the part of the clip where he imitates Peter Grant. Peter Grant came to visit him in his home in New York City. Would you like to come to see the band at Carnegie Hall? Which is kind of a fun... But what you hear is him describing the band, and... You want to know how good these guys were live. This guy who played with Jimmy Page for a couple of years. This guy was almost in the band. And he's seen him for the first time. And he can't believe what he's seen. And here's what you get.
It was extraordinary to me. I mean, Jesus Christ. There were four guys. It sounded like a war.
There were four guys. It sounded like a war. And that's a great description of Led Zeppelin live. You know what? I don't know when they played Carnegie Hall. I'm not even going to try and dig into that. But speaking of New York City, if you're in the New York City area, here's something interesting. Yardbirds are playing New York City on September the 7th, the B.B. King Blues Club on September 7th. Worth seeing. Chris Dreja is still with the band. As is, I'm trying to think, Jim McCarty, the original drummer, and they have some young hotshots. Andy Mitchell seems to be the guitar player. Ben King is the vocals, and Dave Smale is a bass player. So that's who's playing, and they're playing. I'm gonna say New York City, September 7th, and that's interesting. That's a significant date because on September 7th, 1968. The New Yardbirds played their first ever show at the Gladsdale Teen Club in Denmark, in Gladsdale, Denmark. Denmark, look at me reading. Gladsaxe, Denmark. And that was Saturday, September 7th. They, of course, went on to become Led Zeppelin. There are pictures of the show. A fellow by the name of Jorgen Angel became the first person to take photos of the new lineup on stage. And the guy who was running the tour for them, I met him in London back in 2007, sitting beside him at dinner the day we picked up our tickets. I can't recall his name offhand. Very nice gentleman. He met his wife that night, actually. And they were both great and both big Led Zeppelin fans. But that was, and he did all the shows, of course. But yes, I actually have a poster on my wall of a bunch of pictures taken by Jorgen, Jorgen Angel that night. It's a print. It's signed by him. It's called First Performance Copenhagen. And so there you go. So if you're in New York City, the B.B. King Blues Club, September 7th, Yardbirds are playing. Hard to go wrong with that. And that is it. I'm hoping those videos or those audio clips turned out nice. It should. It sounds like it kind of went well, but hope you enjoy those. Hopefully you enjoyed the podcast. As I said before, let me know what you felt. Let me know. Was it, you know, too short this time because it's running, it's going to fall in under half hour. Still too long. What did you think? Too many gaps. I kind of think I cut down on the gaps. And there's just, you know, I'm still not sure about putting music clips in. I've been thinking about it. I have also been thinking about getting bumpers. You know, people that say, oh, I am Fred from Omaha and you are listening to the Ramble On podcast. If you would be interested in doing that, email me, Brian, or rambleon@briangardner.ca. Head over to my webpage, briangardner.ca/rambleon. That's briangardiner.ca. And let me know you'd like to do it. The idea is to do it through Skype. I think I have the technology. Think I have the capabilities to make it happen. So that's what I want to do. I'd like to get some people to do intros and outros. And if you have, you know, if you've ever written anything about Led Zeppelin, you're in a Led Zeppelin tribute band, anything like that, even more, I'd love to hear from you. But even if you're just a fan, this is Steve from Tennessee, and you are listening to Ramble On Podcast. I'd love to have it. And if you'd like to do that, let me know, and we'll work it out. I've been thinking about adding a little bumper music at the beginning, but I don't want to get into the legal issues that go with that. So I don't know, I'm still thinking about some stuff on that. But for today, we bumped in a couple of little sound clips. We'll see how that worked. Maybe next up will be an interview that would get pushed in there in the middle. And we'll see. But that's it. So you have been listening to Ramble On the Podcast. This is a production of Ramble On the Blog, briangardner.ca/rambleon. Subscribe on iTunes. Get it every 10 days, every 2 weeks, whatever I do. And thank you for listening.